Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Getting you set for tonight's Game 4 in St. Louis. Powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach.
OTAs are back in full swing. The Broncos are out at practice. But not everyone's there. Not everyone's there.
Uh-oh.
Conspicuously missing.
Conspicuously.
Out there today.
Conspicuously.
Kareem Jackson is not in attendance. Billy Turner is not in attendance.
But I think he's banged up or still rehabbing.
Oh, is that right?
I think it's what I heard. I don't know. So he might just be in the training room.
Okay.
Okay, so okay, I like that. Yeah, I'm not quite sure his status.
Okay.
So just throwing that out there. I don't know. He might be wherever.
Okay. Jerry Jeudy apparently is out there in sweatpants. It's just coming out in a handful of minutes ago. About 20 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, it was people tweeting, hey, we don't see Jerry Jeudy. Now he's here, but he's in sweats. Okay. What?
Think he's looking for a new deal?
Oh, stop.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I thought it was good.
Okay.
Okay, so at least he's here. Why is he not practicing? I don't know.
We should get clarification. We're expecting to hear, by the way, from Nathaniel Hackett
in
just over an hour from now. I'm fully expecting the drive to carry that live.
Don't know why he's not practicing. We'll probably get clarity on that.
Would it be anything that, like, because of the stuff, the getting arrested and spending the night in jail, stuff over his head still, wait till they get that cleared up? I wouldn't think that would be the case.
I wouldn't think so. No, I wouldn't think that has anything to do with it, but I don't know. Well, you know, it's hard to speculate on it when we don't know what, and I'm sure we'll get some clarity there here. In another hour, the drive, I'm sure, will be carrying it, like you said, so we'll see, but at least he's here. At first, we heard that he wasn't even
there.
So that's why you don't know maybe who's in the training room rehabbing, who's not.
And you're right, Billy Turner's got a knee.
Got a knee. So see, it's just stuff like that, but I think it's important to be here. You know, and when we first heard it, it was like, Judy's not here. It's like, bro, like these things were always pretty much, I mean, they were so important to me. And especially when you got new coaches, new quarterback,
of course,
you need to be at this stuff, right? This is laying the foundation. This is starting to build that bond and that relationship with you and Russell Wilson, right? This is a huge year for you, Jerry Jeudy. If you're not taking it seriously, if you're not here, like committed right now, then, like, what are we doing?
That'd be a troublesome sign if that were the case.
Exactly. The fact that he is here, I don't know why he's not practicing, but he is here, is a good sign. It's a really good sign. Who else is not in the house?
Randy Gregory, he's dealing with that shoulder.
So that's a shoulder,
We weren't expecting to see him. Mike Kliss tweeted 33 minutes ago, does not see Melvin Gordon.
Bueller. And here we go again.
But he was showing up to the conditioning stuff, and then here we are at OTAs when it's the closest representation of football that we're going to get. And this is where you can be sort of following through on your install. Like, you're out there and you're running, you're building that base against the defense. Are guys getting hit across the middle? No. Are they tackling? No. But again, this is what you have to work with. And Melvin Gordon, I got to be honest. I'm not going to say I'm surprised, okay?
No.
I'm not going to say I'm surprised.
That's been what he's done.
But when I saw him attend things earlier, I said, okay, maybe there was a discussion from George Payton as a qualifier to bring him back. Like, hey, we got a lot of new stuff, Melvin. I get this. You normally don't do this, but.
Well, that's what I told you should have been done. And if it wasn't, that's a big mistake by George Payton. So I don't know if it was done or not. Now, Zach, this is a Monday. Right? It's Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes guys have things planned. Okay? I'm just saying, should they or should they not? I get it. Look, it is voluntary, but at the same time, it's important. Like, this should be a priority. It was always a priority for me, for the most part. Right? It's a priority to be at this stuff and to be here. But sometimes, you know what? You committed to a charity golf thing.
Sure.
You got something that's going on at home that you need to be there for. So, stuff like that. So I'm not going to sit here and bash a guy. It's one day. Kareem Jackson. Do we want Kareem Jackson here?
Of course we do.
Right. Veteran, leader.
New defensive coordinator.
Right. We want that guy here. Right. Melvin Gordon. Do you want that guy here?
Of course.
Veteran, leader. Yes, you want those guys there, right? Important pieces of this football team. And, you know, why are you re-signing these guys if they're not going to be all in and committed? But once again, I don't know. They both might be here tomorrow. They both might be here next week. They just had something this week. I don't know. We'll see how this thing plays out. But for me as a coach, I would be like, you know, and a general manager, if I'm re-signing some of these veteran guys, I want their commitment that they're going to be here and that they're all in and they're ready to lay the foundation down. And if not, I wouldn't re-sign these guys. Right? It's a little bit bigger now. We're looking at a bigger picture, and we're trying to establish something here.
Yes, there you
go. I'm only bringing back guys that are just like totally all in. They're committed to being here 24/7. You know what I'm talking about. Exaggerating a little bit, but they're committed. And they're committed to get this thing turned around and changed. And if not, then you know what? Hey, veteran guy, I'll go find another veteran guy, right? And that needs to be the message. So we'll see how it plays out. But you want your leaders here, your veterans here. And so it's just a Monday, just one day. So I'm not going to be down on anybody for one day. But we'll see how it plays out over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. And, you know, You really said it without saying the key word for me is you say you're trying to reset something. You're trying to reset a culture. It's been so bad around here that, you know, it almost like feels like you're trying to, turn around a ship. Like it takes a little bit. Like, you know, this is a big old operation. And all these little things matter when you're trying to reset a culture.
Right.
So I'm not surprised by Melvin Gordon not being here, but I'm a little bit disappointed.
Know why.
True.
So, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why. That's why let's hold off on being extremely disappointed.
Okay. Okay.
Let's just see what the facts are here. But he might be here tomorrow and not miss another day.
Thanks to our listeners in Louisville for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. You're right. But the history is such, it leads me to speculate.
That's right. And it's fair because of the history. But then again, you know, he was around, been around after he signed, which we all said, hey, nice job, man. This is nice to see him here. He should be here. He needs to be here. It's one day. It's a Monday. Sometimes you're back home. You have a little bit extended weekend. Sometimes you have things that go on. You know, life happens right now. And so I don't want to be too quick to judge on why he's not here or why a guy like Kareem Jackson's not here. We'll see how it plays out over the next couple weeks.
All right. We'll continue to follow it, obviously. Big deal, little deal. I think, you know, we can, you know, reasonable minds can disagree on that one. Brandon McManus, that's not a big deal. He's not there. He's the player rep. We don't expect him to be there.
Who?
The kicker.
The kicker. Why are we talking about the kicker? Love you, McManus. No, look. No. Who cares?
And he's almost like he's the guy that says, hey, you know you guys don't have to be here, right? Like, as your player rep, it's my responsibility. This is voluntary. He wasn't there last year. It is what it is.
Who cares? It doesn't matter at all. I mean, he's a kicker. Just make your kicks, McManus. Him being there, not Justin Simmons there? Simmons was one of the other guys wasn't there. He was one of those. It was McManus, Simmons, kind of leading the boycott of not going to voluntary, right, off-season stuff.
So I have not seen it reported that he's not there.
So I think
we would know if he was not there.
And it's a good thing that he is there. For all the reasons we've been talking about.
Yeah, you're a leader of this team.
Leader. You know, a pro bowler, all pro, all of that. You want that guy there. And seems like he is there. Where in the past or last year, you know, they were kind of taking a stance of boycotting offseason.
All right, great stuff. Details are continuing to flow out of OTAs here. We're going to hear from the new head coach, Nathaniel Hackett, at just after 2 o'clock. Why isn't Jerry Jeudy out there? Why is he in sweatpants? I think that we'll get some clarity on that here very, very shortly. Okay. What is Jared Bednar saying about the play that has resulted in death threats and a police presence at the Avalanche Hotel? What a wild story. We'll hear from the head coach coming up next.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Getting you set for tonight's Game 4 in St. Louis. Powered by Superbook Sports. Stokely and Zach.
What is Jared Bednar saying about the play that has caused all this hullabaloo? Naming the headlines, police presence outside the hotel.
Well, they already hated Kadri before. I mean, they were chanting, booing him every time he got the puck and all this stuff. So it's not like the first thing. Now, in a series that had kind of flipped, and they got out to a 1-0 lead. Next thing you know, look, who runs into their goalie and knocks their goalie out for the series? The guy you already hate, right? So just put more gasoline on the fire.
The history is so real. I mean, that was already a conversation leading up to this point. Like, hey, are we going to see anything from Kadri? Could we see anything? And why wouldn't you ask? We've seen it, what now, I think 3 times in his playoff career. It's resulted in none bigger than an 8-game suspension. That was a big boy charge a year ago with that hit on defenseman Justin Faulk. And then we know his first game against the Blues next year, Braden Schenn drops the gloves first minute of the game. Okay. Which was this year.
This year. Yep. Right.
And then your next game, you think it's over. Nope. Now Faulk's got to come for his revenge as well. You're going to fight him first game of the first minute of game number 2 against the Blues. And then here you are. It's like a perfect storm. Despite Kadri, you and I agree on this thing, not having intent. This is the last thing Nazem Kadri wants in a contract year. This is already your reputation. So for better or worse, right or wrong, you're in the middle of the fire again.
And I don't think he had a penalty in the first 2 games. So, I mean, he's been on his best behavior. He knows he can't put his team in a bad spot like he did last year. And all of a sudden this happens, and it's just unfortunate. You watch it, and there was no malicious intent there. And he sees the puck get out in front. He's going for it. Next thing you know, there's a collision. Well, what happens when you collide with someone else, especially when you're on skates? Well, you're going to go flying in, you know, all over the place. It's hard to gain your balance. And then there's the goalie, and you both kind of pile on top of him. Unfortunate situation. That's just the way it is. That's sports sometimes, and the goalie gets hurt. He's going to be out for the rest of the playoffs with the Avs, that series, which means he's done for the year.
Mm. This is exchange between D-Mac and Jared Bednar after the game.
What's your feeling
about it? You know, I didn't love it seeing it live. Looking back on it, I mean, it's a heavy collision. Kind of comes around and he just catches him in a bad spot, but I didn't think the hit. I thought it was a legal check, to be honest with you. Yeah, it kind of goes in on his head side, but he got a lot of body there. He was turned the wrong way and he went in awkward. And I mean, it was a heavy, heavy check. So, unfortunate, but to be honest.
All right. So that's totally my mistake. That is Bednar reacting to the hit on Samuel Girard,
right.
Which, by the way, let me get your thought on that, 'cause we haven't touched on that at all. Girard, it came out after the game, broken sternum, done for the series. That was very early in that game, just a minute and 40 in. It was Ivan Barbashev who just crunched him on the boards. That was a heavy lay jab.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know all the minutiae rules here when it comes to hockey, right? All the little.
What did your gut tell you about the hit?
It was a nasty hit, you know, and the guy got low and he didn't hit his head, but he's in a. He can't protect himself in that position. And, I mean, he just got destroyed. I mean, he just got flat out destroyed. And you thought maybe concussion because then his head goes into the boards and it hits the ground and his nose is bleeding. And then you come to find out that, I mean, he broke his sternum. I don't know, his sternum somewhere in the chest. It's not good. So, no, I don't know. Zach,
And by the way, that is your chest. I did not think the hit was dirty at all. I thought it was a larger play. Sammy G is 5'10". He's listed at 5'10".
Yeah.
Which means he's probably closer to 5'9". He's a smaller player. You know, Ivan Barbashev is 6 foot, you know, and he looked like he tried to dip his shoulder to try to stay away from the head. I didn't think there was anything dirty. I thought it was a heavy laid hit.
Sometimes you see those hits, though, and you have penalties. Sometimes you see them, you don't. Is that guy defenseless? I mean, can you just go full speed and throw someone into the boards like that when they are? I don't know all those rules. It's just unfortunate. Once again, it's sports. Right, it's sports. It's like a receiver running over the middle. I mean, is he a defenseless player? Should it have been thrown a flag? Well, the receiver ducked too. And to me, it's like you just kind of got to play on, man. It's sports. Yeah. This stuff happens, and it goes fast. It's moving fast. We can slow it down and look at Benninger and Kadri and the hit and like, oh, my gosh, he should have been able to avoid him. But that's not the way the game's played. He sees the puck in front. He's going for the puck. This guy's coming behind Girard. You know, Girard ducks down a little bit. Next thing you know, the hit looks awful. It's sports, man. These things happen, and it's not played in slow-mo. So
exactly.
At first glance, I'm like, where's the penalty here? And then when you look at it, it's like, well, it's hockey, man.
I just thought it was unfortunate. Yeah. Yep, I agree.
Just like the hit on the goalie, just like the injury to Benninger.
Bennington.
It happens. Who?
This is Jared Bednar.
Benning who?
This is Jared Bednar after the game talking about Kadri's reputation and a hit on Bennington.
Listen, reputation, it doesn't mean anything. It's either a legal play or it's not. You know, we've talked about this with Naz and the way he's trying to change his reputation and making sure that he's playing through checks and plays legal or non-legal. And they're going for that D and Naz, they're both going for a loose puck sitting at the top of the crease, skating in there downhill, you know, as hard as they can go. And both guys go in there. They're both going after the puck the same way, and they collide before they go in. So, again, unfortunate. Same as Girard for me. That's a legal play, and, you know, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Both of those plays falling under the same umbrella for Jared Bednar along with us.
Yeah, it's what happens in sports sometimes. It's guys are going hard, you're competing, and, you know, I think if the guy wasn't to Kadri's right, you know, Kadri's able to get out of the way there. But, you know, he can't get out of the way. They run into each other, and they both go flying into the goalie. It wasn't just like it was Kadri that went flying in the goalie. Just an unfortunate play, and it happens sometimes. And, you know, hey, his reputation, I like the way he phrased it. It shouldn't matter. I mean, you can watch it and say there was no intent to just go after the goalie.
He doesn't want to be involved in this.
No, you're right.
He's in a contract here. He wants to avoid this.
At all costs.
Unfortunately, he was involved in it. Now, the fallout, quickly here, apparently there's, you know, racist remarks, tweets to him, death threats. They had more police outside, more police presence outside the Avs hotel. DMACC, and credit to him, asking Craig Berube about that. Like, hey, what about the fallout, the death threats, the racist stuff? And he said, no comment. Now, that comment of no comment is picking up steam here within the last 2 hours. Is the lack of diffusing the situation helping to pour gas on it?
Well, I think if you're the opposing team, you know, you might look at it a little bit differently, and you already don't like Kadri. And as a coach, maybe you're trying to, you know, send a message to your team. I don't know. But certainly it doesn't help. No, it doesn't help the situation. Of course it doesn't. You'd like him to say, hey, you know, that shouldn't be taking place here. It was a situation that happened on the ice. He wasn't trying to hurt our goalie, but all that other stuff when we're talking about death threats and racist remarks that has no business being in sports and in this series here in hockey. That's what you wish you would say, but he didn't, and maybe there's a reason why.
Maybe so.
But I tell you what, this Bednar needs to have his team ready to go and ready to avoid all the mess. all the mess. It's about winning this hockey game tonight and pretty much putting this series away. It's not about all that extracurricular crap. We're not down with that. They want to fight? Let them fight. Let them take the penalty minutes. We got to be clean. We got to be clean and put this stinking series away and go up 3-1. That's got to be the message, and I think it will be. You can kind of tell the tone and how he's phrased things and talked about things. All that other stuff, that's for the birds. That's not for us here in Colorado.
He said it's not about ego. It's about winning.
That's right.
We have breaking news.
Oh.
Of a story that we have been following here in town, and we'll pass along the details coming up next.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Getting you set for tonight's Game 4 in St. Louis. Powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach.
We got breaking news. We talked about it in the third segment of the show. In fact, it was the fourth, and we said we're going to be watching this story very closely. Well, we didn't have to wait long. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN putting it out, per sources, Denver Nuggets president Tim Connelly has agreed to a deal with the Minnesota Timberwolves that'll make him one of the NBA's highest compensated executives. Significant coup for the Minnesota franchise. He said Connelly will sign a 5-year, $40 million deal plus a deal that includes ownership equity. Sources said a massive deal for deal and franchise changing move for the Timberwolves. End quote.
Well, first of all, like we said, when we didn't know it was going to happen, and we kind of figured it probably was going to happen with the way this thing was going. A bummer. Just a big bummer all the way around. You don't want to lose a guy like Tim Connelly. He's been the architect of this basketball team, which has been a really good basketball team, and you expect the future to be the brightest. Like, the best is yet to come.
Right.
That's what we're hoping,
right.
Anyway.
Yes.
I mean, so that's it's just a big bummer that now it's over, but look, all right, it's time for someone else to step up, and hopefully you find someone else that does a great job and can kind of take the next step with his franchise and maybe has a different vision, maybe has the same vision. We'll see how it plays out. But good for Tim Connelly all around. You know, we're good friends with him. Friends with him.
Yeah.
But we're friends with him.
Yeah.
And just good for him.
It's a great day for Tim Connelly.
Great contract. But the equity and the ownership thing, that to me takes it to a whole nother level. I mean, these franchises are worth billions of dollars. It's like, well, I don't know.
And they're only increasing.
Exactly.
In the NBA.
Yeah. Or everywhere. What do you mean?
Well,
everywhere.
Everywhere, yes. But you look at what the NBA has done globally. The footprint is growing. The brands are growing. It's significant.
Yes, and so that could be a big number. I don't know what it means, equity and ownership. Not sure what that means, but it's one of those things where you look at it and say you just can't pass it up. Was that the kicker?
Very oddly right now, very oddly. Because let me just make one thing clear. This is a bad day for the Denver Nuggets. Bad day. And the Nuggets fan base, a lot of times, in the years covering the team, don't want to accept that sometimes, like, that's just a bad thing. Every day is not a good day. It's not always good news. This is not good news. This is not a good day. But very, very oddly, I feel slightly better about the departure because the Wolves offered him ownership stake. I do not fault the Kroenkes for not giving Tim Connelly ownership stake. That's a deal that you have to take. If it was just the money, if it was just because, just to repeat, it's 5 years, $40 million. That is a ton of money. If it was just that and the Kroenkes like didn't counter, I would be a little bit more upset. But this is more unprecedented territory. The Timberwolves might be a little bit desperate doing this. I've never heard of a deal like this. I don't know if there's other general managers that have ownership stake. I would highly doubt it. I just have literally never heard of this new dynamic.
What will be his title? It won't be just general manager. It's going to be probably...
It'll be president of basketball.
Yeah.
President of basketball will ownership stake at a top three number in the sport. Of course, Connolly has to take that deal. But at the same time, if you're the Cronkies, as much criticism as there could be levied in their direction, I don't fault them for not giving up a piece of the ownership pie.
No, you can't do that. You just can't. You just can't do it. So it's good for Tim Connolly, and now we'll see what it looks like for the Nuggets moving forward. Do I wish Tim would have been there for the next 10 years? Of course.
Yeah.
I would love to see this thing through and see what it would look like moving forward. It's just not going to happen now. I have no other choice to be optimistic about, you know, Calvin Booth, whoever else they hire, whatever direction that they have, because they have a good nucleus, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
It's a good starting point. Now let's see what it looks like moving forward. So I'm just going to take the optimistic approach here and say good for Tim Connolly, but you're not going to throw in ownership stake if you're the Cronkies. So, and you can't pass it up if you're Tim Connolly. So it's one of those things where just happen, right? This is just sports. Sometimes it's these things happen.
Yeah.
One team wanted him really badly and offered him something that you just weren't going to do here. And
end of story.
Now it's time to move on and wish Tim nothing but the best. And we'll see what the direction of the Nuggets looks like now.
Yeah.
I mean, does it not like excite you at all?
No, not at all.
What it looks like moving forward?
Oh, well, I'm eventually going to get there because my curiosity with the team is what it is. So, like, yeah, I'll eventually get there. On a day like today, do I have any excitement about Calvin Booth or anybody else doing this job? Absolutely not. I mean, if you're a passionate Nuggets fans, and they're definitely out there, You have to feel like Stoke, two of the five most thought of executives in basketball right now are Masai Ujiri and Tim Connolly. And the Nuggets had both of them. And in the same 10-year window, you lost both of them. The dynamics are natural and they are what they are here at play with the new ownership stake. But as a Nuggets fan, you got to feel like, what can we do? We had two of the brightest minds running our organization. We lost them both. And we're now hoping that lightning strikes for a third time. And that's just, there's got to be a little bit of a helpless feeling here with a lot of Nuggets fans.
I get it. I just think right now you got such a good nucleus. It's something to look at. And you got a lot more positivity going on with this team. And hopefully, you get healthy and we'll see what kind of moves and what happens in free agency and moving forward this offseason. But there's a lot of optimism to look at, and there's a lot of nice, great parts and pieces here for, you know, the next person in charge.
Yeah, oh,
you know,
yeah.
You lost, and I don't think I what year was that?
Masai Ujiri?
Yeah, oh, I can't pronounce it.
That's maybe like 9 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, so I don't think I was doing radio then.
No.
But then you lose someone like him, and it's like, oh, my gosh, we just lost this great mind, great basketball mind. And then you got Tim Connolly,
yep.
Right? But like you said, can you have it happen three times in a row? Hopefully it's Calvin Booth next or whoever else they hire here. But good for Tim Connolly. Hopefully it works out for him. You know, I mean, you got too good of a deal to pass up, and you're not going to match that if you're the Cronkies. And, you know, you move on with a great nucleus and a great starting point for whoever's taking over and their vision. And that does excite me for some reason because – I don't know. It just does. I'm going to look at it optimistically, Zach.
There's a lot of follow-up questions to this one. And gosh, I'm going to try to knock out. I'm going to try to go right into the studio. Oh. I guess record Mile High's podcast after
look at
this.
You
know, some of these follow-up questions like Jokic is due for a Supermax. You know, how tight is the relationship of those two guys? Very, very tight. I can say that fairly. Does that have any ripple effect to Jokic?
No. I'll help you out.
Hold on. I don't think so.
Oh, you're asking me.
But here's the thing. You always got to be mindful of the uniqueness of these relationships. You hope that this isn't a crack in the foundation between the Nuggets and Jokic, whereas 2-3 years from now, maybe the thing that pisses them off in a year is the second thing. In addition to this, and you hope that some of the ripple effects of, because Connolly was so relationship based. He sat in the studio and talked to us repeatedly about it. I remember him sitting right there and he said, I do not want this to be transactional between us and our players. It's got to be relationship based. And he put that culture in place and you remove him from that. we just can't foresee what the ripple effects could be. Hopefully there's none,
right.
Stoke. Hopefully there's none. But to think that there couldn't be any is probably naive.
Yeah, see, I'm with you. I don't think it has anything to do with the max contract. But is it the first thing where in a couple years, then that becomes, you know, now the second thing, and it's kind of the thing that pushes him over the edge to wanting to get out of town? Something like that.
Yeah. Maybe the new guy's not a Mike Malone guy who's got a great relationship, has been traveling to Serbia every year. Like, you can just go through it and
yeah.
Yeah, so
you got to make sure whoever the new guy is, he's on board with, you know, keeping the superstar happy, which whoever you hire, I mean, that's number one priority.
Always, it's the NBA.
Right, is keeping Jokic happy. And I think that goes without saying. So we'll see how it looks, and hopefully, you know, in a couple of years, we look back and say, ah, okay, good for Tim.
Hopefully,
but it ended up working out for us pretty well here.
Well, now Tim is in division shaping the Timberwolves. So, again,
with a couple of nice pieces there. Now. Anthony Edwards, Carl Anthony.
You are not lying. You are not lying.
A couple nice pieces there.
Okay. We'll circle back to the show or to this conversation tomorrow. There's going to be a bunch of follow up questions.
You want me on the podcast today?
Yeah, why don't you stay after?
I can't make it.
Okay.
Busy, but.
Okay, just figured I'd ask.
Another time.
We're just a few hours away from the drop of the puck in Game 4. What kind of response will St. Louis have for the Avs and Nazem Kadri? We'll make our predictions on both fronts coming up next.
Getting you set for tonight's Game 4 in St. Louis, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach.
All right, we are just a few hours away from the drop of the puck in Game 4. What kind of response will St. Louis have for the Avs and Nazem Kadri?
Time now for your Mission 16W update. Bring the cup home to Denver. Here's the latest on tonight's game, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
All right. It's a lot here going on tonight. Do you think, let's just start here. Do you think that we will see a direct retaliation to Nazem Kadri?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know if it's dropping the gloves and throwing the fist, but you'll see things. You'll see St. Louis Blues players going out of their way to pay back Kadri. Some form or fashion. Right? And like I said, I don't know if it's a fight. I don't know what it is, but, you know, you're pissed off if you're them. Right? There's history there. Was it intentional? Was it not intentional? Now you're down 2-1. You're on edge to begin with. Same guy. Same guy did it again. Yeah, you're going to look to go after him in some form or fashion.
Sure.
Do you agree or disagree there?
I do. I agree wholeheartedly. I think you're going to see someone take a run at him, whether it's after the whistle, whether it's taking a liberty within the whistles, or whether it's just flat out dropping the gloves and say, we've had enough of you. We've been had enough of you. You cross the line again, and we're not getting out of Game 4 without you having to fight someone. That would not shock me. But I think that will come in last of the order of someone taking liberties after the whistle, someone just trying to take liberties during the game in gameplay, or then thirdly, although I do think that if you see this game get out of hand in one form or another, Avs up 3-0, 4-0 in the third, or vice versa, I think if the game's just context allows someone to, I think you could see something get out of hand.
Oh, there's no holds bar there. I mean, like if it's like the score that you said, if you're saying Blues player, what do you have to lose at that point? Nothing.
Right.
We already hate this guy.
Right.
Now it's time to like really send a message. Who cares? We've already lost this game. And we probably lost the series. You'll see emotions. Yes, I agree with you there also. If it's that type of game. But I think the biggest thing for the Avs here is stay the course. You know, recognize the goal. Just like I said when, what was it, McKinnon? When McKinnon was fighting?
Yes.
Late in the season?
Yes.
Like, no. Keep your eye on the prize here, brother. We're at the end of the finish line. Like, we don't need you to be swinging fist. And then all of a sudden, did he hurt his shoulder? Did he hurt his wrist? Like, we don't need that. And just like tonight, we don't need that. We don't need all the extracurricular activity. We don't need that nonsense. Let them do all that stuff. Let them get the penalties. Our goal is not to win a fight against St. Louis.
Right.
Our goal is to get out of the stinking second round.
It's way bigger fish to fry.
A huge game tonight. Such a huge game. You go up 3-1, give me the odds. It's probably around 90% or more that you're going to win that series. And that's not even talking about a team like the Avs, right? So it goes up even higher. Huge game tonight. You got a chance to start putting them 6 feet deep here. Keep your eye on the prize and don't get involved in all that extracurricular, you know, stuff that might be in play tonight. And if you're the Blues and you let yourself get in that, I mean, to me, that's a message from the coach. If you're the Blues too. Like Bednar, I'm telling you, hey, and he's already said it. We're trying to win a series. We're not trying to win a fight. And if you're the Blues, you're in this series. Right, I mean, Colorado's just up 2-1. We gotta let bygones be bygones. We gotta play our best puck tonight, and not worry about getting back at Kadri. Let's keep them on edge, but we're not gonna be doing all that silly stuff. We need to win a game in the utmost, and we can't get involved in taking silly penalties.
And by the way, I think if you see this be a focal point from St. Louis, they have their priorities wrong.
Yes.
Because if you bring that nonsense, you're about to go down 3-1. The odds right now, ahead 2-1, the live series price is Avalanche minus 650. That is almost, you're teetering between a 6-1 and a 7-1 favorite.
Huge.
That will get cut at least in half if the Blues find a way to prevail tonight, come back into Game 5 tied 2-2.
Yeah.
So
and if they lose.
If they lose, you're right. It'll be 9-1. They'll be a 9-1 favorite, maybe 10-1. That dramatic back home.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
Playing the next two of the next three in Colorado.
Yep.
So Jared Bednar is clear about his, like, how they're going to approach this. If they wanted to mess around and they were prepared for fighting, you know, Curtis McDermott would be suiting up tonight. And he's sort of the enforcer. That dude can handle himself. Catch him on the wrong day, he'll tune you up like a guitar with loose strings. But he's not playing tonight. So they're keeping the singular focus as they should. So
perfect.
Puck drops at 7:30.
Okay.
Let's talk about predictions.
Look, one thing that's been on my mind, and since I've been watching a lot of Bednar press conferences, because D-Mac's there asking some great questions, and I haven't seen a lot of Jared Bednar press conferences throughout the course of the year. Just haven't seen them, right?
And the last couple of years, they've been doing it on Zoom.
Right.
And
haven't seen them. I'm not going to sit there and grind over Jared Bednar's press conferences after, you know, 4-2 win against, Philly in, November, right? But right now I am. I'm all for it. And you see his mannerisms, and there's been a lot of heat on him, especially from our own James Merrillat.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it deserved. But when I watch him, you know, once again, Zach, this thing is just too much of a parallel for me. Hopefully that's right. It's just, when I look at my Colts teams, I look at these Avs. It took us 4 years to finally get over the hump.
You were really, the high-flying regular season Colts.
Yeah. And you know, number one seed, number two seed, just could never get over the hump. Fourth year, finally got over the hump and won it all. I look at their coach, and he reminds me of Tony Dungy. And just his mannerisms, how he goes about his business, how he is on the bench during the game, just like there's no panic there. There's no overly, he doesn't get over, there's not a lot of emotion coming from him. Like,
no.
He just stays the course, yep. Right? And that was Tony Dungy, man. He was perfect for our team. Like, when the adversity was against us, when the pressure was on us, just like the pressure is on the Avs to get out of the second round and to respond when you're tied 1-1, you just lost home ice advantage. I just think he's the perfect coach for this team. And it's just too many parallels here, Zach. It's just too many. Avs are going to win it all, man. It's just going to finish all my thought process of Colts, fourth year, they did it. Abs, this is the fourth year. They're going to stink and do it, man. They're going to do it.
Your vibe on, I mean, judging from your exuberance here in those last couple statements, I'm guessing you have the Abs winning tonight?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Backup goalie in. Is he their starter? Is he their backup? Well, he got benched, so he's their backup goalie. And he fills and he pays the price tonight. Abs, pedal to the metal. Even though you were content, you said a mission was accomplished after winning game three. Not so fast, my friend. They don't have the same viewpoint. They are thankful that you're not the coach because you would have had the bags packed and, you know.
You're the whatever. One going into St. Louis what, said they what? Could lose the next two and you'd feel fine about it.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said.
It's
that's
the second cousin of what you said.
Well, that's not what I said. You said mission accomplished. Mission is not accomplished.
I used
mission
the wrong verbiage in a tweet.
Okay.
We agreed they had to have one of the next two. They got it.
You said mission accomplished.
It's not so mission accomplished.
Thank
it's
mission, you. Okay.
Mission 16. There's still W's to be had here.
Yes, there is still W's to be had here. And, oh, by the way, they get it done tonight, and they get it done in a big way. A backup goalie, he's not ready for it. Fists will be flying. Not literally, but they will come out to play and KKFN, HD101. You're so rude.
Wow, you guys stopped at the same time.
And I still beat you to the punch. I stopped a little bit quicker than him. But, hey, Avs get it done tonight to go up 3-1, Zach. 4-2, they get it done, and I feel so good about it, so confident about it. 3-1, like 90% chance to win the series.
Oh, yeah. If you're telling me you're between 6 and 7 to 1 favorite right now and you're up one game, if you go up two games, it's going to be a near impossibility for St. Louis to win three straight, with two of those being in Colorado. Game five, by the way, they're already going to come back. Game five will be on Wednesday, and hopefully the vibe is great. I have the Avs in an absolute dogfight tonight. A dogfight, but a win. 4-3 in a game that is close every step of the way. I don't think either of these teams ever get a two-goal separation from the other. I think you're going to get the very best punch from St. Louis. It's everything. This is their game seven. They know the context at play. So I think they're going to get their best punch, but offensively, they just don't have what the Avalanche have. I got the Avs edging them out and going up 3-1.
And they showed you the heart that they had in game two, right? After just getting dominated in period 2 and 3 of game one and getting blown out in that first game, like they came out in game two and pretty much dominated that whole game and took it to the ass. So they're not going to lay down. You're exactly right. They're not going to lay down. They're going to come out ready to fight, but it's up to the Avs to bring the energy and play good puck. There was too many sloppy plays, even in game three for me, especially the end of the second period. I need a cleaner game from them, and I need a better executed game from it. More energy, like we saw in game one and most of game three. We can't have a replay of game two. Can't have it.
I was proud of your energy today out of Monday. Very good. Dante behind the glass. Wow. Shout out. We're going to go have a quick meeting, and then I'm going to go record a fresh episode of the Mile High Hoops podcast reacting to the news that Tim Connelly is headed to Minnesota. He's not just leaving town. He's becoming the Nuggets' neighbor in division. Yep. Incredible story. Can't wait to hear about it the next 4 hours with The Drive right now.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.